Ephesians chapter 5, verse 32. I speak concerning Christ and the church. He says, I speak concerning Christ and the church. And he is referring here to what he has just said in the preceding verses about husbands and wives. If you look here in this chapter, beginning in verse 22 and going all the way through the end of the chapter, you'll notice that Paul addresses husbands and wives and the relationship that they are to have. And so whenever he's talking here about husbands and wives, he is also, according to verse number 32, talking about the relationship that exists between the Lord Jesus Christ and the church. And this is why in the scripture, the church, those who are saved, are referred to as the bride and wife of the Lord Jesus Christ. For example, hold your place right here and look over with me for just a moment to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. In Revelation chapter 19, look at verse number 7. Revelation 19, verse number 7. The scripture says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her, that's the Lamb's wife, was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. So in the context, the Lamb's wife is the saints of God. That's the context here. But look over again at Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. Revelation 21, verse number 9. Revelation 21, 9. The scripture says, and there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. So in the scripture, the church is referred to as the Lamb's bride or the Lamb's wife. And with that thought in mind, what I want to do this morning is use the husband-wife relationship, since that relationship is a picture or a type of the relationship that exists between the Lord Jesus Christ and the church. I want to use that union to show you some of what the Lord wants, some of what he expects from his wife. And this applies to you if you are a child of God. I'm going to give you three things this morning that the Lord expects from his bride, from his wife, using, as I said, the relationship of husband and wife. Number one, let me say this. The Lord wants love from his wife. Amen. The Lord wants love from his wife. If you think about a husband and a wife, don't know that we had the best of examples a few moments ago. Brother Vic just got that. And that was a joke, by the way. But if you think about a normal husband and wife relationship, something that the husband and also the wife, but something the husband desires from his wife is love. The husband wants to be loved by his wife if it is a normal relationship. And not only does he want to be loved by his wife, but he wants to be loved supremely by his wife. If it's a normal relationship we're talking about, the husband wants his wife to love him more than she loves anything or anybody down here on this earth. Amen? That's really the kind of relationship that is supposed to exist between a husband and wife. That husband is to love his wife and she is to love him, and they are to love each other more than they love anybody or anything that exists down here on this earth. That's the way it's supposed to be. And I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ desires the same thing from his wife. He wants us to love him. Now, I don't think there's any question, or at least there shouldn't be any question, as to whether or not he loves us. Amen? That's something that ought to be crystal clear. We ought to understand that he loves us. But what may not always be like it should be is our love for him. I am afraid many times we don't love the Lord the way we're supposed to. But that's what he wants from us. And just like with the husband, he wants us to love him supremely. He wants us, as the scripture says, to love him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. With everything that we have, he wants us to love him. He doesn't ever want us to get to the place where anything or anyone means more to us than him. He never wants us to get there. The Lord wants us to be madly in love with him. He wants us to be, as we like to say, head over heels in love with him. That's what he desires from us as his bride. He wants us really to be lovesick. We love him so much. That's what he desires. He wants us to be like the Shulamite woman was for Solomon. How many of you in here ever read the book of Song of Solomon? Hopefully you have. If you hadn't, I would encourage you to do so. And some people like to put a dirty twist on that book because it is very descriptive. There's no doubt about it. But really what you have in the Song of Solomon is a love story. These people who say they love romantic novels and they like to read these love stories, you ought to go read the Song of Solomon. Amen. That is a love story. That's what you have in that book. And it's about the love that Solomon had for the Shulamite and the love that the Shulamite had for Solomon. And one thing that's very evident all the way through there, and by the way, in case you didn't know, that whole book is a picture or a type of the Lord Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. And one thing that's evident all the way through there is that the Shulamite loved Solomon very, very deeply. In fact, it's evident that she loved him more than anybody or anything. And it's evident that he loved her as well. But it's a great love story and a great picture of what we're talking about right here. Let me just give you some references from the Song of Solomon. We'll take the time to turn there. But in chapter 1, in verse number 7, this is what she says. She says, "Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth." That's what she says. In chapter 3, verse number 1, she says, "By night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth." In chapter 5, in verse number 8, she says, "O daughters of Jerusalem, if ye find my beloved, that ye tell him that I am sick of love." That's where we get the expression lovesick, by the way. She was so full of love that she says, "If you find him, tell him that I am sick of love." It is clear that she had a great love. She was madly in love with Solomon. Man, in that whole book, that's all she wants to talk about. You even find there where the daughters of Jerusalem would question her and wanted to know, "Why are you making such a big deal about this beloved of yours? What makes him any different than the others?" There were people around who did not understand the great love, the depth of the love that she had for him. And I'm telling you what, folks, I believe that's what the Lord wants from us. He wants us to be so in love with him, not in love with what he does for us. Amen. Not in love with what we can get out of him, but so in love with him. I mean, just so head over heels in love with him, so sick of love with him that people around us just don't understand it. They just don't understand it. That's what he desires. And let me say this. Not only is it what he desires, but wouldn't you agree that it's what he deserves? Wouldn't you agree that he deserves our greatest affection? That he deserves for us to love him with everything we have? That he should never, ever, 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 under any circumstances whatsoever, have to take a back seat to anybody. Don't you think he deserves that? When you get to thinking about how the scripture says, we love him because he first loved us. When you get to thinking about that great love, as the Bible says, wherewith he loved us. You get to thinking about how the scripture says he loved us and gave himself for us. When you get to thinking about how he loved us when we were very, very unlovely. And when you get to thinking about how he still loves us right now. Now that we're saved and have that relationship with him, think about how he loves us unconditionally right now. How that day in and day out, he expresses his love for us through the goodness that he sends our way. Maybe he expresses it sometimes through the correction that he sends our way, because the Bible says that he chastens those that he loves. But he's always reaching out in love to demonstrate the love that he has for us right now. In light of the fact that he did all that for us and continues to do all these things for us, don't you think he deserves our love? That's what he wants. So what does the Lord want from me this morning? I'm going to tell you, number one, above all others, he wants your love. He wants you to have that affection for him, to love him with everything that you are. That's what he desires. Let me give you something else this morning. Not only does the Lord want love from his wife, but I want to say secondly that he wants loyalty from his wife. He wants loyalty from his wife. Again, thinking about a normal husband and wife relationship, if it's normal, and especially if it's biblical, if it's in line with what God wants, then a husband desires for his wife to be faithful. Amen? Now, I realize we got some weird mess going on in this world today. And not just today. It's been going on for years and years. Like I've heard, and I just, the first time I heard it, I couldn't believe it. And I don't even remember when the first time it was that I did hear it or from whom I heard it, but somebody mentioned to me one time about so-and-so having an open marriage. Y'all ever heard of that? How many of you in here heard about an open marriage before? You know what that means? It's an open marriage to where the husband and wife can just be with whoever they want to. They have each other's approval. If you want to be with somebody, then you just step outside of our relationship and you be with them. Just help yourself. And if I want to step outside of that relationship and be with somebody, then that's what I'll do. There are actually, believe it or not, there are actually people in the world right now that have that kind of relationship with the person they're married to. Now, I'm going to tell you, folks, whether it hurts your feelings or not, that is just straight out of hell, friend. That is as foreign from what the Bible teaches as anything you'll ever hear of in your life. I mean, it's just wicked, it's wrong, it's just selfish, it's just people wanting to fulfill the lust and desires of their wicked heart. That's all that mess is. But there are actually people who have that kind of relationship. That's not a normal relationship. In a normal husband and wife relationship, a husband and a wife want loyalty. They want each other to be faithful, to follow through with the promise they made the day they got married. Amen? When they stood there before that preacher, the justice of the peace, or whoever in the world it was they stood before, and made that commitment to be loyal and faithful to that individual till death do us part. Isn't that what it says? They want them to follow through with that commitment, to be loyal. Let me say to you, That's what the Lord Jesus Christ wants from his wife. Amen. He wants loyalty from those of us who are saved. He doesn't want us to step out on him. That's terminology we use for people that are unfaithful to their spouse. We say they stepped out on their husband or they stepped out on their wife. The Lord Jesus Christ doesn't want us to step out on him. He doesn't want us to be guilty of spiritual adultery. He doesn't want us to be guilty of that. He wants us to be faithful, to be loyal all the days of our life down here on this earth. But I'm afraid that many times God's people do what you see illustrated in the Bible with the Lord. Just like Gomer stepped out on her husband Hosea. Y'all ever read that in the book of Hosea? Just like Gomer stepped out on her husband Hosea. Just like the prodigal turned his back on his father and went out into the far country. Just like Israel turned his back on God and embraced many lovers in the Old Testament. And just like the church in Ephesus, many times today God's people leave their first love. You notice I said leave their first love? The way I've heard that said many times is so-and-so lost their first love. You don't lose your first love. You leave your first love. You turn your back on your first love, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, for the embrace of another. And that's what a lot of Christians are doing right now. What they have done, they've turned their back on their husband, their bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who desires and demands their loyalty. They've turned their back on him, and now they have embraced another, and they're guilty of spiritual adultery. They've stepped out on the Lord. Let me show you what I'm talking about here, this spiritual adultery. Look at the book of James just a moment. James chapter 4. The more I thought about this message and the more the Lord dealt with me, the more I thought to myself, God, I'm so thankful that you don't treat me the way I treat you. There's no question about his loyalty, right? Just like there's no question about his love. We know that he has loved us and continues to love us. There's no question to a sane person about his love, and there's no question to a sane person about his loyalty. We know that he is faithful at all times. We know that, right? Amen? We know that. It's not his loyalty that's in question. It's our loyalty. James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Look at what James says in verse 4. James 4, 4. He says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Did y'all read that? The friendship of the world is enmity with God. That's enmity is hostility. In case you didn't know it, the world doesn't approve of God, and God doesn't approve of the world. That's biblical. I'm talking about this world system, not the things that he's created. I'm talking about this system that we call the world, that we live in, that we're around every day. There's hostility. There's hostility between God and the world and God. They're not on the same page, not even close to being on the same page. And what is a shame, a crying out loud shame, is when we as God's people will turn our back on the one who loves us and is loyal to us at all times and embrace something that is the enemy of our God. What a shame. He says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever, that would be you and me, whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world, is the enemy of God. You know what a lot of Christians have done? They haven't lost their first love, friend. They left their first love, the Lord Jesus Christ. And just like that prodigal, and just like Gomer, and just like Israel, they have stepped out of that relationship and embraced the world. They're in love with the world now. All this filth and garbage and all the mess that you see going on down here, they're in love with it. They've embraced it. That's their lover at the time. They are not being loyal to their Lord Jesus. I'm telling you, that's what he desires. It's what he deserves, is our loyalty. He wants love from his wife. He wants loyalty from his wife. Let me give you one other. Something else that the Lord wants from his wife. He wants his wife to be a looker. Y'all know what I'm talking about? A looker. Y'all heard that before? Say so-and-so's a looker. What do you mean when you say so-and-so's a looker? They're pretty, right? Y'all with me this morning? Some of you look like you somewhere else today. Cold weather got you messed up, I don't know. He wants his wife to be a looker. He wants his wife to be pretty. To him. You understand? Pretty to him. And listen, in a normal husband-wife relationship, the husband wants his wife to be a looker, not for everybody else to admire. I'm going to tell you something that sickens me down in the depths of my soul. It's when I see these men who want to beautify their women or their wives so that they can show them off to their friends. You are a nutcase, man. You are out of your mind. And I tell you something else that equally sickens me is when a woman who's married to a man wants to fix herself up so she can show herself off to somebody besides her husband. Shame on any woman or man that would do something like that. Listen, a man should want his wife to be pretty, not for everybody else, but for who? For him. And you can just bet that if they got to that place where they got married, he was attracted to that lady before they ever got married, right? And they say beauty's in the eye of the beholder. And that's got to be the truth. There ain't no doubt about it. Because we're all different in what we think is pretty, right? I mean, let's be honest. You see a person and you think, well, they're attractive. 10 other people may walk by and say, I don't find them attractive at all. I mean, reality. That we just see things differently. And what's attractive to one person may not be attractive to the next person. But it shouldn't matter if your wife is attractive to everybody else. What's important is she attractive to you? And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ is concerned about. Look in Ephesians chapter 5 where we started out. Let me read some scripture to you here. Look at Ephesians 5:25. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Look, that he might sanctify and cleanse it, the church, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. To sanctify and cleanse, that's to clean something up. Is to remove the dirt and the defilement. Anything that's nasty and stinky wants to get it off, is what it's saying. Verse 27, that he might present it to who? To the world? No. That he might present it to himself. To himself. A glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. He wants his bride to be a looker. You know what you have there? You have a picture of a bride who is washed and clean and she's dressed in a beautiful garment that has no spot and no blemish. That's the picture. That's what the Lord wants from his bride. A clean bride. A pure bride. One that's not covered with nastiness and filth and impurity and being spotted by the world and all that garbage, but a clean, pure bride. That's what he wants from his wife. And if you think about it, that's generally how it is when a lady gets married. Now, I know you have some exceptions, and I know it just seems to me like things have degenerated so much in the world. But normally when a lady gets married, she's going to go out and she's going to get the nicest dress that she can afford to get, right? She's going to get a pretty white wedding dress of some kind. And now they've just got where they're trying to be vulgar with those wedding dresses. I mean, let's just be honest about it. They just got where they try to be nasty and leave nothing to the imagination with those things. But normally a woman wants to go out and just get a beautiful, nice, white dress as good as she can afford. She wants to get her hair done, right? And maybe you didn't do these things, but I'm just telling you, normally that's the way it was. I think about when my wife and I got married, she got her a nice dress, she went and got her hair done, want to get the makeup done, want to be clean, and want to have on a nice dress that ain't dirty and got wrinkles all in it. That's how she comes to present herself to the man that's going to be her husband, right? But now, let's fast forward from the day of the wedding till a few years down the road. Sometimes, in some cases, those wives, what we call, let themselves go, don't they? And they don't exactly look the way they did on the day they got married. And all you women burning holes in me right now with your eyes, just keep burning them, because I'm going to keep preaching, okay? And I realize that us men do the same thing. I realize that. But we're talking today about what the Lord wants from his bride, and you cannot make this same application to the Lord Jesus Christ, because as the Bible says, he is altogether lovely. You can't make no application about the Lord Jesus Christ letting himself go, can you? He's altogether lovely all the time. So in his love, in his loyalty, and in how he looks, he is everything he is supposed to be at every single moment, always. But in an earthly relationship, sometimes the wife lets herself go. She gains a lot of weight, and she gets to where she doesn't fix herself up, and, you know, her husband comes home, she's still in her nightgown, and she hadn't took her teeth out of the cup all day, and, you know. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Just, you know. I guess they feel like, you know, I've got him, so I don't have to do all that anymore. I can just relax and take it easy. But they let herself go, and sometimes they're not as clean and as worried about herself as they once were. Y'all know I'm telling you the truth. What I'm getting at is this right here. We get saved and we start out in that relationship with the Lord. And when we first get saved, we want to be just as clean as we can. We just want to live so close to him and love him. And if there's anything that we see in our life that's dirty, we want to get it out. We want it gone. We don't want it there, because it's repulsive to our Lord. It offends him and he don't like it, and we want it gone. We just can't stand it being there. But as time goes on, my, how we'll let ourselves go. My, how we'll let things creep back into our lives that at one time we wanted gone. And we're not as careful about the places we go, and we're not as careful about the people we hang out with, and we're not as careful about the stuff we watch on television, and we're not as careful about the things that we listen to, and we're not as careful about what we put on Facebook or what we see on our phone or what we look at on that computer. We're not as careful about those things, and we'll just let ourselves go. And really, what we're doing, we're just getting dirty and nasty and defiled in the eyes of our husband. What a shame that we let ourselves go like that. Because you know what he wants from his bride? Not for everybody, but for himself. That's what it just said, to present it to himself. What he wants is for his bride to be as beautiful to him as she can possibly be. And would to God, we as his children, as the church, would get back to the point where we're sick and tired of worrying about what people in this world think about us and how we look to this world, and just focus on being what he wants us to be. That's where we need to be in our lives. Let's bow our heads for prayer. And while we're getting ready for our invitation today, I want you to do a self-examination. Where are you in your love for him? There's no question he loves you. He loves you with a perfect love. How much do you love him today? There's no question about his loyalty. He's faithful to you at all times. Faithful always. How loyal are you to him? Have you left your first love? Have you turned aside and embraced the world? How do you look to him this morning? When he looks at your life, is he pleased with what he sees? If there's any problem in any of these areas, and there's no better time than this time right now while we have this invitation for you to take care of business with the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the time to be here and to spend in your word. I pray that you would help us to respond the right way in Jesus' name. Amen.